Thank you, brother. Good to be with you again this morning. My wife is not here. She is presently in Ontario, Toronto, the big city. She's taking a course on Wendy's and the hamburgers and all those things. She's updating herself, so that is why she's not with me this morning. It's good to be here, and it's a lovely morning out there. We're going to turn our Bibles first to Luke chapter 12. We've been there many times before. This morning, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord, and we're also going to talk about untimely deaths. Untimely deaths, as you see in this portion in the Word of God. Then we're going to look at about 8 or 9 people, places, who in the last probably 60 years have had untimely deaths. And if you went on to Google, you could punch in untimely deaths, and you'll see most of the people here that we're going to look at today. So a lot of different comments. Some people say that never happened. People who made comments about God, blasphemed Him publicly. And the verse I want to start out with, and we are taking it as you would like to say, out of context. It is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. And we know the Galatians speaks about the grace of God, but we see this one verse here, and it is speaking about the grace of God, but it was a word, we take it out of context, and we're going to use it for an illustrative purpose. Just like we go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, we say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will and open the door, I will come in and enter and sup with him, and he with me." That is not a gospel text. That is written to the church, but we use it as a gospel text because we use it for an illustration. And in the same case, I would like to use this verse this morning. Yes, it is taken out of text, if you will, but I want you to listen to the words, what it says. It says this: "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And if you listen to that verse, you could see it even in the chapter we're going to read now in chapter 12 of a man who had an untimely death. And the big question is, how do you fear the Lord? And when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, are we talking about we have to go around shaking like this because we don't know when God is going to zap us? No, that's not what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is to have reverential respect for who He is. That is to have reverence and respect for who God is. Do you have that? Do you have a reverence for who God is? Because we're going to read a couple other verses. If you want to go first of all to Psalm 14. And then we're going to go back to Luke chapter 12. Psalm 14. Please turn there with me. And I want you also to understand that God is looking down right at this moment, and He is assessing and looking at every single one of us. Yes, cooperatively He is looking at us, but He's looking at us individually. And He is assessing our lives every moment of every day, 24/7, 365 days a year. You say, well, how can He do that? There's 7 billion people in the world today. Well, there's the idea, my friends. We need to get a proper concept of God, who He is. He's God. Psalm 14 and verse 1 to 3. Psalm 14. I better turn there myself. Psalm 14, and we know the verses I've quoted before. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart. It doesn't mean that the person even had to utter the words, but he thinks in his heart, maybe there is no God. Have you ever thought that? Even as Christians? Do you know what? Maybe if I'm living this life and I'm not enjoying the things of this world, maybe there is no God. Have you ever thought that? I have. When the devil comes into line sometimes, we have think those things, don't we? But we know of people who have gone astray. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have all done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of man, and to see if there's any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Turn again now to Psalm 53. You know what you're going to see? Almost identical to what we just read. And why would God have man to write in two different psalms those very ideas, those very thoughts, those very lines? Listen to what he says in Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looks down or looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That must be something that's fairly important, isn't it? For God to mention it twice. Two different psalms, Psalm 14, Psalm 53. God looks down. And my friends, that's what he sees today. Does he look down any other times? Look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God watches the ways of man and he pondereth. He looks down and he assesses that person every day of his life. And he looks at me. And he looks at you, and he ponders our ways. Here's another one. Proverbs 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God is watching you. He's watching me. He's watching every one of the people, 7 billion in the world today. You know what we say? How can he do that? Because our little minds cannot understand God. And when he says in Matthew and in the Gospels, he says, I have the hairs of your head numbered. Not just counted, numbered. I see when every little sparrow drops out of the sky. I have every star named, and there's more stars in the sky than there is people in the world. He's got everyone named. That is the God that looks at you and looks at me this morning. And we've been talking and singing about the tremendous plan that God has made for us. Provision, even in spite of our filthy, corrupt ways. And God doesn't ask us to behave. He asks us to believe what he says. And believe what Jesus Christ has done for us. Have you ever believed that? Or are you believing something else? And so we talk about this morning the fear of God. And you know what? If you went to the book of Proverbs, 8 times it is mentioned the fear of the Lord. Turn there quickly, then we'll go to Luke's gospel. Proverbs chapter 1. We're just going to read 2 or 3 of them. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. It says this in verse 7, the fear of the Lord, what did we say the fear was? Reverence and respect of who God is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Turn now to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. We see how these fall into place as we read about other people. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. Listen to what it says. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be what? Shortened. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I believe there comes a point in time in man's life, some in particular, when God has to deal with them severely. We think of Pharaoh in the Old Testament. And God gave that man, and people say, yes, God used him for an example, and he did. But if you look in Genesis chapter 9 and chapter 10, you'll see twice where Pharaoh admitted that he had sinned against God. Did God give that man a chance? He sure did. He gave him 10 plagues long to repent. And a couple of times he says, I have sinned against God and I will let the people go. And then he changed his mind. And God used that man, Pharaoh, as an example to others, just like Judas and other people in the Bible. There was a point in time when God's mercy and grace ran out. And that's why he says in Genesis chapter 7, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I ask you this morning, is there a time when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to you, and maybe even this morning, and maybe the last time, because that's what spoke to me, my friend. I said, maybe God will never speak to me again. Maybe he'll not be knocking on my door. Maybe he has turned his back and walked away. Let's read Luke's Gospel chapter 12. And we're going to read into verse 16 for time's sake. And he spake a parable that is the Lord Jesus Christ unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, what did God say? Unto him, thou fool. What were we talking about back in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53? The fool that said in his heart, there's no God. Obviously, this man, it doesn't say he ever uttered the words. It doesn't say he publicly spoke the words. But in his heart, he imagined there was no God. Why do we know that? Because not once do we ever hear him say in this portion, thank you, Lord, for the tremendous provision you have given to me. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And I want you to mark in your Bibles verse 21. We just read, God said, thou fool. Look at verse 21. So is he or she that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That is a very important verse because it sums up what the rest of that story says. And God says, not only to this man is he a fool, but anyone else who is not rich towards God and lays up treasure for himself. He is also a what? A fool. And a fool is someone who thinks and acts unwisely. And for 31 years, I was a fool. And thank God he saved me. We're talking about untimely deaths and the fear of God. Have reverence and respect for who he is. And we ask everyone, Christian, saint, and sinner alike, this morning, do you have a fear of the Lord? Do you have a reverential respect for who he is? He is God. He is sovereign. He has all the rights in the world. But he rules according to his attributes, which is love, righteousness, holiness. And he will not go beyond that. But there comes a point in time when God will give to man exactly what he deserves. And if you pass away from life and you end time and you have never repented of your sins, and you enter eternity in your sins, my friend, that's it. What's it say in Hebrews 9:27? It is appointed on the man, on the woman wants to die, but after this, the judgment. If you're not judged here on the earth, you'll be judged after. Simple as that. We cannot get away from it. This man, we can also go to Job chapter 27, verse 8. It says this, for what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul. We also know what the verse, Matthew 16, 26, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And there's people in this world today who are doing that. It may be even you. And here is God speaking to this man. This man, we say, an untimely death. Who in their right mind would think this man was going to be dead? It's like that. I'm sure none of his friends did. He most certainly didn't. He had no idea. He was planning for the future. He was building up all his retirement plans and everything else. He was just going to have a real good time. And he left God out of his life. And you know, we read this story and we think it was a one-time thing that God just gave him a bumper crop. God doesn't do that. I'm sure God gave him a bumper crop year in and year out. And this particular year, God gave him a real big crop just to see what he would do. He said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater, and it's all going to be for me, myself, and I. Aren't I a great farmer? I am just the best person in this world. And not once did he say, thank you, Lord, for giving this to me. And God sums it all up, the Lord, in verse 21, doesn't he? When he says, so is he. So is he what? So is he a fool that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. What's it say in Colossians? God wants his son to have preeminence in everything. First place in everything we do. First place. You know what? I fail in that area. Do you give the Lord first place in your life and everything? Our old thoughts and minds are terrible, aren't they? I know it, and I'm sure you do too. Our motives, our intentions, and then our actions. And God looks down every moment, like it says, he looks in every place. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. He is a sovereign God. He is creator, sustainer of life. He sees you. He sees me. And there's nothing or nowhere we can hide from him. He sees us. But he also loves us. And he loves us so much he gave his very best that heaven could offer. He gave his son to die in your place, a substitute, to pay a penalty you could not pay. Here is a man who was a prosperous man. And the world today would look at a prosperous man, and we hear people go to funerals. He was a great man. Community-minded. He was gave to people. He was kind. He was kind-hearted. He was all these things. This man was a prosperous man. He was an ungodly man. How do we know that? He never said thank you once to God. He was an earthly-minded man. Everything was about his farm. His life was all about farming and so on, wasn't it? He was an earthly-minded man. He was a presumptuous man. That is, he thought he had tomorrow and the next day, and he had all kinds of life. And you and I know that none of us, as it says in Proverbs 23, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen this afternoon. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you have the fear of the Lord? Are you thankful to him? It says, in everything give thanks to him. Did you do that? This man was prosperous. He was ungodly. He was earthly minded. He was presumptuous. He was a foolish man. God called him a fool. The last thing is, he was a lost man. Untimely death. Just like that, God took him out of the picture. And you say, why? Because God probably gave him time after chance after chance after chance after chance. And this man basically said in his heart, there is no God. Or, another translation, because we see two of those words in italics, no God. I don't want you in my life. No. I don't need you. I want to turn to a few people's names, and you could Google this afternoon, and there's all kinds of different comments. Some people, the unsaved, of course, say this never happened. These words were never uttered by these people. First of all, we think about John Lennon, one of the members of the Beatles, one of the persons that started it, him, along with him and Paul McCartney, started the Beatles. And we know the tremendous fame they had. Most of these people had a tremendous prestige. They were in places of public influence. And we were just talking about a man who said in his heart, there is no God. These people went further than that. They didn't just say it in their heart. They said it to other people because they had tremendous influence. And sometimes we read the Bible and we say, oh yeah, well that story in Luke's gospel, that refers to the people back then, but it doesn't refer to me in this day and age. God is still doing what he did there, my friends. He's the same God. And be careful what you say about God. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we know lots of people. I heard a person in the hockey world. I love watching hockey. Maple Leafs are my team. Recently, about 2 months ago, I heard a man, and he lived, formerly used to live on the island, was one of the presidents of one of the hockey teams. And they were talking about a team, it could be the Maple Leafs, I don't know, but they were saying how terrible they were. And he said, right out of the blue, he said, even if Jesus Christ was their coach, he said they'd fail. And I shut the TV, just like something right up your back, up your spine. That man is still living. That man is still living, but if he continues like that, I would be awful scared of being snuffed out. God would take him out of this world. Just like this man we were just talking about. First of all, we're talking about John Lennon. Some years before his death, during his interview with an American magazine, he said, Christianity will end, it will disappear, even before us Beatles do. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today, we, the Beatles, are more famous than him. 14 years later, John Lennon, after saying that, he was shot six times. Do you know what the number six is? Six is the number of man. He was shot six times. Not only did he say those, there was other things. He wrote a song called Imagine. See, he didn't just say it one time. He was forever saying something, blasphemy towards God and to his son, Jesus Christ. Publicly saying it, not just in his heart. He was publicly saying it. And people say, oh, well, it could have been just coincidence. Why would God wait 14 years before? Because God is long-suffering, my friend. He's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. And God has given, probably had given this man time and time again to repent. And he kept repeating things about God. He wrote a song called Imagine. Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. That became a very popular song. In fact, there's a church today that they're singing that. Have you ever heard tell of Rick Warren? He has a tremendously big church. Lots of followers. In fact, he's the author of A Purpose-Driven Life. And I'll tell you, it is subtle. They have dances in their churches. They have everything, rock and roll to everything they want. And this is one of the songs they will sing. Those things going on in this day and age, yes, there is. And God is looking down, and he sees the evil, and he sees the good, and he is looking collectively at people, and he's looking individually at people, and he is assessing your life. And that's why we need to have fear of the Lord in our lives, a reverence and respect for who he is. Do you know when you're breathing his air. You're breathing his air. John Lennon, he was shot six times. Well, think of another man, president of Brazil. We don't know him. His name, it spells this way, Tancredo Neves, in 1985. During the president campaign, he said if he got 500,000 votes from his party, not even God would remove him from his presidency. Not even God could remove him from his presidency. Do you know what? He got his 500,000 votes. But a day before he became president, he got sick and he died. Was that God? I can't say for sure it was. But my friends, we can't mock God. Publicly, even in our hearts. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And my friends, when we say it in our hearts, bad enough. But when we say it publicly, we're in a place of power and prestige. And we say it and we keep saying it. There may come a point in time where God will step in. So be careful what you say about God and his son, Jesus Christ, about the Spirit of God. Watch what you say. Watch what you think about God. Another man, a bisexual Brazilian composer, singer, a poet. His name was Czuzo. In 1990, he said this: during a show in Rio Janeiro, while smoking his cigarette, he puffed out some smoke into the air, and he said, "God, that's for you. That's for you. That's what I think of you." He blew out some smoke. He died at the age of 32 with lung cancer in a horrible manner. And some people refute that and say, no, he didn't. He died from AIDS. What's the difference? Where is he today? And how did he live? And what kind of fear did he have for the God who is in control of his life? It doesn't matter if these things are truly factual. Where are they today? They're not here. And by the things they said and the things they sang and the things that the songs they composed and their life to live before others, my friends, there is no way they should be in heaven. They would be not in heaven, but in a place called hell. What about the Titanic? I read on Google, it said that, no, there was no one who said this. This is what was said, a statement made. After the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him, this is one of the engineers who was responsible for building the Titanic. He said, how safe is the Titanic? How safe is it? With an ironic tone, he said, one of the men said, not even God can sink it. In fact, someone said, somebody wrote right on the bottom of that boat, not even God could sink this boat. And it's just like the Lord, as it struck that iceberg, just like the Lord took his finger and went right along the side of that great big boat, that huge vessel. And thousands of people were drowned. All because someone made a statement, probably, we say, well, that's only one statement. Probably made more jokes about it, more statements about it. Very confident in themselves, where God had to step in and say, you know what? I'm God. And you know what? You're just a man. The Bible says, what is man? Thou shalt be mindful of him. But you know what? People today, as men and women, we think we're something, don't we? We really think we're something. We're smart. We're intelligent. We can do tremendous things, and that is true. But my friends, we can't even touch the bottom of the barrel when it comes to God. We got to remember who he is. He is the creator, sustainer of life. And my friends, he can take your life from you. He can give you life, eternal life. He can do all these things. But God is a compassionate God. He loves you. He has made provision for you. His son died for you. And God asks you to believe that and to accept it. That's all he asks you to do. And then live it. Live it. Have a fear of the Lord to rest your life. Have you ever done that? When you come to a point in your life and you said, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I don't have to prove that to anybody in here. We all know that. We're lawbreakers. Whose law have we broken? God's law. We're sinners. And our sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. And when we realize that I'm the sinner, Jesus Christ died for my sin, I ask him for forgiveness, because the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ has been given authority to forgive sins. The only person. And my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is our only access to God. I don't care what you say. Our only access to God. Even in prayer, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is our access to God. How important is Calvary? Tremendously important. And Jesus Christ is a mediator between a holy God and a sinful man. And he died in our place. And the moment that we accept that by faith, believe that he died for my sins, ask him for forgiveness, repent of our sins, that is a Godward change of mind, we are saved in an instant and become a child of God. Obviously, these people didn't. Untimely deaths. Who built the Titanic? This person, and in 1911 it sank. And some people say, well, that's not true. There was never, well, Arnett McEntee, and most of us know him, he had a little book about the about the Titanic. That was one of the statements he had in the little book. And my friends, I'm sure he did a lot of research. That one of the engineers said, even God himself, he wrote it right on the bottom of the boat, even God himself could not sink this ship. What about Marilyn Monroe? 1926 to 1962. Movie actress. Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. As far as physically speaking. What about her life? Her mind, her thoughts, her actions. Marilyn Monroe, she was visited. Now this again is just someone said this, and some people said it never happened. Visited by Billy Graham. Billy Graham visited a lot of the important and famous people, most of all the presidents of the United States in his younger years. It says that he visited Marilyn Monroe and he was sharing the gospel with her. And in fact, Marilyn Monroe was brought up in a Christian home. Adopted, I believe there was adoption there, but she was brought up in a Christian home. And Billy was speaking to her and saying that she needed to be saved. And you know what she says? I don't need your Jesus. Because you know what? I have everything else. Look at my life. Look what's going on. I have fame. I have fortune. I can go here. I can go there. I can do anything I want. Everything is going wonderful for me. But this was a troubled soul. Marilyn Monroe. A week later, she was found dead in her apartment. She was on drugs, alcohol, and everything else, of course. We were singing about the peace of God this morning in the first meeting. Peace. We also know a verse in Colossians says, having made peace through the blood of his cross, the Lord Jesus Christ made peace for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God has given us peace. Jesus Christ made it for us. We have it within us by faith. This person didn't have peace, did she? Marilyn Monroe died, only a young lady. She had everything the world had to offer her, but she didn't have Jesus Christ and didn't want him. Bon Scott, singer, 1980. The ex-vocalist of AC/DC on one of his 79 songs, he sang, "Don't stop me, I'm going down all the way, down the highway to hell." And on the 19th of February, 1980, Bon Scott was found dead. He had choked on his own vomit. Drinking, partying, didn't care anything about God. The song, "Highway to Hell," it says, some of the words it says is, "Hey, Satan, paying my dues, playing a rockin' band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm going on my way to the promised land. I'm on my highway to hell." We start saying words like that and blaspheming God and his way and his provision, my friends, we're on dangerous ground. And we listen to people that sing it too. This man died. Another place, a place, not a person this time, in Campinas, Brazil, in camp in Brazil, a group of friends drinking went to pick up a friend, a young girl. The mother accompanied her daughter to the car and was so worried about the drunkenness of her friends, and she said to her daughter, holding her hand, who was already seated in the car, "My daughter, may God go with you and protect you." Do you know what she said? She responded, "Only if God rides in the trunk, because the car is full." It's already full. There was all kinds of laughter from her other friends. She laughed too. Hours later, news came by that they had been involved in a fatal accident. Everyone had died. Where did she ask that God should ride? In the trunk. That car was so demolished, and every one of them were killed. But you know what was saved? The trunk. Not hurt at all. And those policemen and those people were totally amazed. But not only that, when he opened the trunk, there was a dozen eggs in there, and not one of them were broke. That's a story. You can believe it or you don't have to. In Brazil. And I just spilt my water. And that is true. Ooh. That is true. And people say, well, maybe that's not true. Well, someone quoted that that story. Untimely deaths. And the fear of God, my friends, we can say what we want. But there is a God. And someday, every single one of us are going to stand before Him. And you're going to either stand before Him as your Savior, or you're going to stand before Him as your judge. That's in Revelation. The great white throne judgment. And you know what? That is your choice and yours alone. God has done everything for you. He's made provision. Provision that I cannot understand and truly comprehend or explain to you. Why His Son, who was God in the flesh, who came right down to where man is, amongst us, filthy people, and He went to the cross and He died for us. You know what it says in Isaiah 53? He is despised and rejected of men. It doesn't say He was. It says He is. Even today, Jesus Christ is despised and rejected. And I believe we heard the story of a lot of people in this day and age where He is despised. And if you went out today and started knocking on doors, it wouldn't take you very long to get an answer like that. I know we have heard it. One person said to us, and I have told this before, we went knocking at the door, I think it was Bob McGregor and I, he said, if I had Jesus Christ here, he said, I'd haul off and hit him. He said, I'd tell him what I thought of him. Another person said this, he said, I know I'm going to hell. He says, all my friends, have you heard this before? I heard it directly from a man. He said, my friends and I will have the greatest party we ever had in our life for all eternity. Well, you can go to, again, Revelations, I believe it's chapter 20, and you can read about your friends in hell. They're not very lovely. And it doesn't say anything about a party. I'm going to read one more thing, and then we'll close. Christine Hewitt, Jamaican journalist and entertainer, said the Bible, the Word of God, was the worst book ever written. Absolutely no sense to it. In June 2006, she was found burnt beyond recognition in her motor vehicle. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's why I use that verse. Did we take it out of context? Yes, it does speak about the grace of God in Galatians. It speaks about His goodness. The word grace means God giving to us something we do not deserve. His mercy is just the opposite, God not giving to us something we do deserve. And God has done that all for you and I. But my friends, we need to be careful what we say to and about God. We need to have reverence and respect for who He is, for He truly is a sovereign God. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He's a loving God. But He is God. And we need to be careful how we respect Him. Let us close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, for Your Son. And Father, if there's any here this morning who do not know Him as their Savior, Father, may the Spirit of God this morning open their eyes, open their hearts, open their understanding, break down barriers, and Father, show them that they are walking on dangerous ground. Even as a sinner, even if they don't say anything about the Lord, they have already made up their mind. They have already said in their heart, as it were, there is no God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that before it's too late, they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, none of us are good people. And Father, as we heard this morning, when we're saved, it's the righteousness of God that is put to our account. Righteousness of Christ. Because there's nothing in and of ourselves that is good. The Bible says, for all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Every good work that we could possibly do in our life is as filthy rags in His sight. That's our good works. What does God think about our sin? Our filthy works. They need to be cleansed. We need to be forgiven. And Father, we have been singing this morning about the blood of the Lamb. It is only the blood of God's Lamb that can cleanse us from our sins. And Father, we thank Thee for giving Your Lamb, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He was willing to die for even me. And Father, thank you for the day when I bowed to thee and said, Lord, save me from my sins. Thou art worthy. I am unworthy. Save me today. Father, we know that you can save a person in an instant, the moment the attitude, the will, the mind has a Godward change. Turning around and facing God and saying, Lord, I am a sinner. You are the Savior. Thank you for giving your Son. He is the Savior of the world and he died for me. I believe it. I receive it. I accept it. Father, part us with thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could we sing one verse of number 62 and the meeting will be over? Just as I am. I sing this song pretty well all the time I'm here. Number one, it's easy to remember. At my age, not only that, but it is tremendous, simple words. And it says this, just as I am, without one plea that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That is true. God is pleading for you to come to him today. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because I promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. God asks us to believe what the word says. Number 62, and we'll sing only the last verse.
Just as I am,